Ghost Playground!
Hooray! Most parents would totally freak out if their teenage daughter came to them and told them that she wanted to be a race car driver. Well, that's not the case with the parents of Natalie Natatak Waters. Well, for the most part. Hi, I'm Lexi, and this is Delightfully Different. Today we're talking to race car driver Natalie Waters. Natalie has racing in her blood. Her uncle and grandfather got her started. She's even rolled her vehicle.
Hi, my name is Natalie Waters, and I am a race car driver out here in the West. I race Focus Midgets, Sprint Cars, and Modifieds.
All right, Natalie, how old are you?
I am 19 years old. I started racing when I was 6.
So that's really young. Are there age restrictions for this?
So you can actually start. So I started racing in quarter midgets. You can start racing those when you are 5 years old. So they're kind of like the Focus Midgets and the Sprint Cars, but they're a quarter of the size, hence the name the quarter midget.
Okay.
So they have a roll cage, which is why I decided to get into those instead of go-karts, because they're a lot safer and you can move up faster in those.
So other people do occasionally race go-karts? Like, that's a thing as well?
Yes. So you can race go-karts until you're about 14.
So you got to be 16 to get your driver's license in regular life. What do you have in order to race all of these other vehicles until you turn 16?
So it depends on the track. Some tracks require you to have a NASCAR license.
Oh.
So as you can start in quarter midgets really no matter what. And then as you move up, you can get into higher classes, but you have to prove that you have raced previously and have experience in order to race those cars before you're 16.
So they don't just let any Yahoo go out there and do it. You have to have had some lessons and be good. And do you have to like take a test in order to do that?
No, they really just let you go out and practice and like completely by yourself and see what you can, if you're going to be comfortable enough to go on the track. And then they just start you at the back of the pack and you just kind of go at your own pace.
Oh, that's so interesting. How many other, like, do you come up when you were younger? Because you're an adult now. When you were younger, did you come across a lot of other young people, teens and kids that were doing this?
Yes. Yeah, so actually, when I started racing quarter midgets, there was not even a quarter midget series in Utah. And
okay.
my grandpa knew of them out in Vegas. And so he contacted Rocky Mountain Raceways, as the rest of my family was racing there. And they got a quarter midget group together. And so the track put us on since we had enough of us. And there was about 25 total from ages 5 to 12.
And they never would have had that opportunity had your grandfather not gone and done that.
No, I mean, it was just him and a couple other guys. And they decided that would be a good idea. And they could probably get a couple of people. And they just organized it all themselves.
So you kind of like changed stuff in racing in Utah. Your
yeah.
family did. That's
yeah.
great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And also, you have the title of youngest person ever to drive a sprint car in Utah. Is that still true?
Yes, as that year that I got that was the last year there was ever sprint cars in Utah.
And what? How long ago was that? How old were
that
you?
That was in 2018, and I was 14.
Oh, man, such a kid. You're teeny tiny now. I bet you were teeny tiny then.
Yes.
How often do you come across other women in racing? I imagine that the percentages are very small.
It really just depends on the class of cars. We do have, in the Focus Midgets, when I started, I was the only girl, and now I think there's 4 other girls in that class.
Okay.
And in the Modified, I was 1 of 3, and now in the Sprint Car, I'm the only one.
The only one?
Yep.
How do the fellas treat you?
They're actually very kind and very good. I've ran into some issues with maybe 1 or 2 in my whole career.
That's wonderful to hear. So it's not like other jobs then?
No.
And do any of like the old men never talk down to you?
No. Oh, not some. I have had one who got mad at me on the racetrack. We were having issues and with my brakes, where whenever I touched the brakes, the car wanted to just whip around.
Okay.
And so we went into the corner and I hit the brakes and the car went around, and there just happened to be a car on my inside. And so I took him with me, and he thought that I wrecked him on purpose. And so he came up to me and he was like, "You don't belong here. And if you can't control your car, then you need to go back and learn how to do that. And you just don't, you're not supposed to be here.
How do you react to something like that?
I honestly, he kept like just talking over me. And so my grandpa kind of, you know, told him, he was like, hey, she listened to what you had to say. You're going to listen to her. And I was like, I'm very sorry you happened to be there. We have been having issues with our brakes all day long. And if you go back and watch, every single time I get on the brakes, that car wants to come undone. And you just happened to be there. And I'm very sorry about that.
Wow. Interesting. Huh. Well, it's a good thing grandpa was there.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of the stuff that you've won or play. I don't know how it works with, I play regular sports. So like you either win or you lose. There's more to it in racing. Yeah.
So there are some similarities and some differences. So throughout the year, you're competing for the championship with all the other drivers.
Okay.
So it's just based on points. So you get points based on where you qualified, where you finished the race, how many people you passed. And then at the end of the year, whoever has the most points is crowned the champion. So I have won 2 championships.
You have?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Give me some more of your accolades.
So I won one of those when I was 14, and then the other when I was 16 in the Focus Midget class. And just to kind of throw it out there, the oldest person that was in that class with me was 75.
Oh, my goodness. That is quite the span of ages.
Yes. So it was a huge accomplishment, both of them. And then I was crowned the youngest person to race a sprint car in Utah. I hold 3 track records. One in the sprint car at Rocky Mountain Raceways, and one in Meridian Speedway with the midget, and then the other in Twin Falls with the midget.
That's a lot of stuff to remember. You got a good memory.
Yes.
Now, you got a nickname, Nat Attack.
Yes.
How'd you get the nickname Nat Attack?
Honestly, it was way before racing.
Oh.
When I was little, my Aunt Gina used to call me Nat Attack. It just became a thing. Like, all my cousins
it.
And everything. I'd walk in the door, it's like, hey, Nat Attack's here.
And now it's your racing nickname as well. Everybody calls you that on the track.
Yeah.
Nat Attack. I did see you had a big sign in your garage that says Nat Attack on it.
Yes.
Okay, so that sign's made it's official.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. I actually made the appointment to come talk to you with your grandmother. Is she like your manager?
Yes, she basically takes care of like all of the apparel, like all our t-shirts, all our hats. She feeds us.
That's awesome.
When we're at the
Grandma
racetrack.
Grandma Fina is a good thing.
Yeah, we're all stressed out before the races, and she's like, just, here's some burgers.
So this is a family affair then.
Yes, very, very much.
And Grandpa got you started.
Yes.
What do your mom and dad think?
My dad is kind of nervous.
Kind of?
He's, because this is all on my mom's side, so my mom just knows, she knows how it goes.
And,
and my dad is like, So you race with the little kids? I'm like, no.
Not anymore.
No.
You're an adult now.
Yeah.
But you were racing with the little kids for a little bit.
Yes.
And has he tried to talk you out of it?
He has just a little bit, just as college rolls around, you know, like college is your main focus, and it is, and he just pretty much just keeps me on track with the balance between racing and college and work and
gotcha.
All that stuff.
And now, so the racing comes from your mom's side, so I'm assuming it's your mom's father that's the one that got you started. Tell me about your grandfather and how you got into it with him.
So my uncle, Jimmy Waters, has raced for like 45 years. And
okay.
My grandpa was his crew chief through all of it. And so he knows these cars like the back of his hand. And he coached, he drove a couple times himself, but he just never thought of himself as a driver.
Okay.
So he can watch the cars on the track and know exactly what's wrong, knows how to fix it. And he coaches me like, you went in that corner a little deep, try entering exactly here. And I do it. And I just broke the track record.
How old were you the first time he put you in a car?
I was 6. And he killed the throttle. So I had even if I touched the gas, nothing was going to happen.
Okay.
So,
you were just learning.
Yeah. I was just idling and steering and hitting the brake.
Oh, man. What I would have done to have that as a kid, but my parents wouldn't have let me do that. I'm assuming your father's worried that you're going to get hurt.
I have had a couple of wrecks.
Have you? How injured have you been?
Honestly, the injuries weren't very extensive, but the Rex, based on what the Rex looked like, you probably would have thought so.
Thought that you were going to be all mangled, but you weren't. What sort of stuff, like what sort of gear do you personally wear to keep yourself protected? And what sort of stuff is on the vehicle to keep you protected?
So we have learned our lesson on a couple of things and added some extra safety measures. So on me, I have Armory Strengths. And so those go around my forearms and then they tie down into the seatbelt so that if I were to roll my hands, I can't stick my hand out of the car.
Okay.
And then I also wear completely fireproof stuff.
Okay.
So those 100 degree Vegas days, they get pretty hot. I wear long sleeve pants, a long sleeve shirt, thick fireproof socks underneath my fire retardant race suit. And I wear a head sock, so all you can see is my eyes and the top of my nose.
Okay.
And then my helmet that's safety approved, my fireproof gloves, racing shoes, and a Hans device.
You mentioned fireproof stuff several times. Are there fires often when this happens?
What is very scary about these cars is we run methanol. So if it does catch on fire, you can't see it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just heat waves. You can't, there's not a flame. They don't produce a flame.
Oh, holy cow. And I had read that you had rolled your vehicle?
Yes.
Did you just do it the one time or have you rolled it several times now at this point?
I rolled one when I was 13 in the Focus Midget in Vegas. And I landed, so I rolled all the way over and then I landed upside down into a car that hit the wall.
Oh.
And so that produced our extra safety measures.
Okay.
And so since I hit it upside down, the top of the car is open and it's just a square above my head, which is pretty open. And so when I hit upside down, his tire came into that opening and it scraped my helmet up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So now we have extra bars in the top of the car so that nothing can get in there. And then I flipped a car up in the air. So I didn't quite roll it, but we were just coming to green and there was a rookie driver behind me and I had hopped the wheel of the car in front of me and he spun out and it was no big deal. And the car behind us, the rookie, he freaked out, saw the wreck and slammed both the gas and the brake to the floor.
Like when someone's first learning how to drive a stick.
Yes.
Okay.
So he, right as I jumped the tire, you know, my front tires went in the air. And when I came back down, my back tires were in the air, which was right when he hit me. So when he hit me like that, it sent me flipping in the air.
Was your family freaking out at that point?
Yes.
Were you freaking out? Like, are you stuck in the vehicle until they get you out?
I was a little bit because as soon as I saw the ground come head first, since I had rolled before, I just kind of like, I didn't really panic. I was like, okay, we're rolling. Tuck the hand, you know, let's prepare. And
you learned lessons how to do it.
So then I just closed my eyes and held back. And then when I was in the air, I thought it was over because it couldn't feel the crashing anymore.
Okay.
And so I kind of sat up like, oh, it's over. And right as I sat up, the car landed, hit the ground on all four tires. And the car that had hit me was like on top of my car. And you could still hear him full throttle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, could you talk to him at that point?
I couldn't, but how I landed, it kind of like knocked the wind out of me really bad. So I was trying to talk and it just wasn't happening.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah.
Do you get, I had the opportunity once to go ride along in a race car.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that suit on that you spoke of earlier.
Yes.
And I got in, well, I didn't get in the vehicle. I started to get in the vehicle and then I had a panic attack. I got claustrophobic and I 100% freaked out. Have you ever been claustrophobic wearing all the stuff and being inside that cage?
I honestly, it's very calming for me because
really?
Yes. Like when we're getting ready to go and I'm all the way strapped in, I could take a nap, like waiting to go out.
I don't know how you do it. I mean, I really freaked out. I had a full on panic attack and could not get in that vehicle. I'm also a lot bigger than you. You probably didn't feel as tight as I do. Tell me about your vehicles. What cars do you drive?
So I have two Focus Midgets.
Okay.
One is pretty much just a backup car. So those have 180 horsepower. and they only weigh about 1,000 pounds, so they're super fun.
How much do regular cars weigh?
Quite a bit, about three times that.
Oh, really? Okay.
About two or three times
that. The weight of the cars.
So it's pretty awesome, and we run on slicks, so it has huge right rear, and each of the tires is actually a different size. And I have two of those, and then I have a modified, which is like your more kind of NASCAR style car. It's double wide, it's huge and heavy, and that has 625 horsepower, which sounds like that car would be a whole lot faster, but it weighs a lot more, and it's on skinny treaded tires, so there is no grip.
Okay.
So when you hit the gas, if you just hit the gas and don't like feather it in, then you're taking a loop really wide. Okay. And then I have a sprint car. It's so its full name is a 410 wing sprint car.
Oh boy.
So that's my brand new car. I just got it. I've only had two races in it. And it has 810 horsepower, and it's just like a midget, except for it has a huge wing on top, which creates a whole lot of downforce.
Oh.
And it weighs just a couple hundred more than the midget, so it's still just as light, and it has big, huge, slick tires.
Do you get to pick the vehicles out yourself, the ones that you drive in the races? Did you choose them?
I did have, like, our first car that we got, it was just, I wanted to race the midget, and there was a midget available, so we bought it.
Okay.
So it wasn't, we didn't, like, pick and choose. We just, there was one, and that's, we want it.
I imagine that's probably how it goes often. I mean, there can't be these kinds of cars for sale all the time.
It's hard. Usually at the end of the year, you'll have some guys that are retiring or whatever. And gotcha. So those last races of the year, we're watching, or if we know somebody's going to retire, we get our name on that list. Like, as soon as you retire, we're going to buy that car.
Okay, gotcha.
And so,
and
yeah.
I noticed, I mean, they live in your garage here at your home. Well, I guess it's your grandparents' home that we're in right now?
Yes.
Okay. And are the cars going to continue staying here?
Yes.
Okay.
So we did have, like when my uncles were racing, they had race car shops and to keep all their cars.
Oh, okay.
So it was convenient, but at the same time, if something breaks, now you're an hour away from home working on the car till 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And so we decided to just keep ours here.
And now your whole family has to park on the street because you've got all your fancy vehicles in the garage.
Yeah. We have a 3-car garage, and right now we have 4 race cars and 2 4-wheelers.
Oh, it was a lot. And they're all kind of in the same color scheme. Did you choose that color scheme?
So there's actually quite a story that goes with that. When I was 6 years old and we wanted a quarter midget, there was only one good one available, and it was out of Las Vegas. And so the car was orange, and it was number 1. And we didn't have time to change the car because the first race was that weekend.
Yeah.
So we threw my name on there and went out and raced, and I won the race.
So now you're stuck with it.
Yeah. So the first race that I ever ran in that car, I won. And so I'm like, it was because I was number 1 in orange.
So now orange is your color.
Yes.
Today on Delightfully Different, we're talking to 19-year-old race car driver Natalie Natatak Waters. And I noticed what do you drive, like, personally around town, like your personal vehicle?
I drive, it's actually a brand new car. It's a Subaru Crosstrek, and it's orange.
And it's orange. Did you choose orange because you wanted to stay in line with the rest of your vehicles?
Yes.
And is orange your favorite color, or it is now?
When I was little, I think my favorite color was, like, teal, like, you know, the usual, yeah. Or pink or something. And then as soon as I started racing and got that car, it was just, like, oh, now it's orange.
Orange is my favorite color. I love it. I love all of your vehicles.
I mean, I was also 6, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you know how to repair the vehicles? Do you know how to do mechanic stuff, too, or do you just do the driving?
It usually depends. I do all the maintenance on it, so I know how to clean the fuel system, because since we're running methanol, we have to do that after every race.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, it, like, eats the stuff inside the motor.
Okay.
So we clean the whole fuel system. system out, and I know how to adjust the shocks. Like if we're racing and the car's too tight, I can put air in the shocks or take air out or put a turn here or a turn there. And then we take stagger after every race. So we measure how the circumference of the tire and then how much air is in it. And that tells us if the tire grew or shrunk, which leads to the car was tight because this tire grew or this tire shrunk. And so I know how to read all of that. And then these cars are only one gear. So there is no shifting. There is no clutch.
Oh.
Yes.
But they're a manual. That's not an automatic or.
You have one lever. And so you're either in gear or out of gear.
What do you ever drive these vehicles in your neighborhood? Like you live in a regular neighborhood here with other houses. It's a suburban neighborhood. Do you ever drive the cars down the street here?
We usually don't for fun, but if there is no racetrack in Utah, so if something breaks and we don't want to travel all the way to Idaho for a race to know that we didn't fix it all the way,
right?
Then we'll fire the cars and drive them around the neighborhood. Like we had a motor that was rebuilt and we just wanted to make sure it would run, but these cars are push started. You can't just fire it in the garage and like, oh, okay, it's running.
And check it out. You have to have a lot of room and stuff.
Yes.
Do the neighbors come out and take a look when you're doing it? Are you the toast of the neighborhood?
Usually it's a lot of kids. They all run outside to the road and their parents are chasing after them. And then when I see a bunch of kids run out, I'll like rev the engine or make the tire spin a little bit or do something
that is
fun.
So funny. I love it.
Now, you said that there's no racetrack here in Utah. There used to be one. Mm-hmm. And there's another sort of racetrack that you live nearby here.
Yes.
What is the difference between the two racetracks? One was concrete and one was not? Is when the other one's dirt? Is that how the difference?
No. So they are both asphalt. But I race on an oval. Asphalt oval track.
Okay.
And all they have out here is a road course.
Oh, okay. It goes windy around in a circle.
Yes. So our cars are made to only turn left. As you can see when we go out there, like the right side tires are bigger and the axles are pushed all the way over to one side.
Okay, gotcha. So,
how interesting. So do you ever go out to the other track and do stuff on it, or where do you do stuff now?
We have to go to Twin Falls, Idaho to do anything.
That's the closest one
to you. That's the closest. It's about 3.5 hours.
Holy cow. That's a lot of traveling for you. How often do you find yourself on the road then?
It depends on the year. Before COVID happened, that year before, we raced 23 weekends.
Okay, that's a lot. That's almost half of the year.
Yeah.
And how far do you travel? Like, where do you usually go? Is it usually Idaho, or do you go to all kinds of states?
It's mostly Idaho. So we run Meridian and Twin Falls, and the track in Twin is Magic Valley Speedway. And then we also race in Havasu, Arizona. And we have gone to Las Vegas a handful of times. And we did go to Hermiston, Oregon last year.
You've been a lot of places.
Yeah. Our goal is to get to California this year, as there are big sprint car races out there. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll kind of see how the funds go and how the car handles and see if we can make a trip.
Speaking of funds, this sounds kind of like a very expensive hobby.
Yes.
How much does it cost to buy the cars, maintain them, travel? How much do you have to put into this in order to have fun?
So our yearly budget is, so that excludes whatever repairs we'll have to do or the purchase of the car. So just to run the season is about $30,000.
And then how much do each of those vehicles cost on top of it?
So when we bought the midget, it was $10,000.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, for each midget. And then the modified I got from my uncle. He retired racing, and so we purchased it from him. So we kind of got a family discount.
You got a deal.
But it was still $20,000.
Okay.
And then this sprint car with these high-tech motors and everything, this one was probably our biggest purchase.
Okay.
And the car was $35,000.
So it's really not that much more than a regular car.
No.
I was expecting you to tell me it was $100,000 or something like that.
It's just hard because the bank's not going to loan. And
right.
There's no insurance. So you have to pay them in full.
Do you make money doing this? Like, do you win money, or is there a way to get your money back?
There's not much profit, but you do make money. Like, you can win money. There is a race at the end of the year. It's called the Pink Lady Classic. Okay. And they get about 50 sprint cars that show up from Canada and back east and all over here. And that, it's a 2-night show in Meridian. And that race to win is $20,000.
Oh, okay. That'll pay for one of your cars.
Yeah.
That's a good prize. I like that one a lot. Mm-hmm.
What sort of training do you have to do on the regular? Is it just driving training, or do you have to like work out and stuff?
I do go to the gym almost every day.
Okay.
Because these cars, it's not like just driving your car down the road. They take some muscle.
Right.
And it can be very draining, especially when we're running a 75 lap main event and we have four cautions along the way, and you're just out there for like an hour. And so my back gets very tired, my okay. back muscles and my arms, and like a kind of across my chest, and sometimes my legs.
So mainly your whole body starts to hurt after a while. Okay.
I imagine you have to do a lot of core workout for that.
Yes. And I don't know about other drivers, but for some reason, ever since I started racing, I pretty much like twist my body when I race, and I don't know why, it just happens.
But to the left, because you're turning
to the left.
Yeah.
Yes, when I turn, and it creates like a really bad, kind of like a running cramp in my abs, and so I train abs a lot to try and get rid of that, and then the left side of my lower back.
Do you feel uneven? Is your body like uneven now because you're only going left?
My right arm's definitely stronger than my left. And my back on my left side is stronger than the right.
Now, if someone wanted to do this, what does it take? What sort of a person do you have to be to do this? Like, what sort of thing do you have to have inside of you in order to want to race the cars?
Well, it's actually pretty interesting, because a lot of people think, well, as long as I can drive a car and go fast, I'm fine.
Right.
And it's not true. I mean, you just heard the prices I told you to do that every year. You have to learn how to work sponsors, how to get businesses to think you're a good investment to help you continue racing for the season. And so you need to know how to talk to people, how to do interviews, and, you know, just how to work like the fan base, because you can't get anywhere if no one's
right.
following you.
Cheering
and
for you.
Yeah. So just all of the things together is really what makes it so that you're able to get somewhere doing this.
You can't be like a little shy person that doesn't want to talk to anybody. You have to want it. You have to want the attention a little bit.
Yes.
You like the attention?
It depends. Yeah.
The good attention.
Yes.
Okay, good. Don't worry. I like the attention too.
So I know you do a lot of stuff. I've seen you helping the community. You mm-hmm. have the Ride to End Bullying and Disabled Sportsmen. Tell me about the stuff that you do and why.
So we do the Race to End Bullying because I figured there was a lot of stuff going on out here in Tooele. We had a couple kids commit suicide, and one was very young. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of an eye-opener, like something needs to change. And I figured with all my fan base and just everybody that was watching me, I could be doing something with that.
Yeah.
So we decided to do the Race to End Bullying, and it really has gone, we didn't really know what to do with it when we first started, but it has grown. I went and talked to a high school earlier this year. We took the cars out and we took some posters and some Race to End Bullying things, and it was fun. We liked it. And then we have stickers we hand out at the racetrack. We've got other drivers involved, and they run the Race to End Bullying stickers on their cars. And
so they're just you're promoting ending bullying.
Yes.
Not, don't be a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is a disabled sportsman?
So they came on board this year. We kind of needed more funds to get the sprint car. We didn't have the money to get it. And so we were trying to sell our other cars, and we knew that's what we wanted to do. And they kind of came in and wanted to help. And whatever way possible. And so we kind of worked with them to come up with some new ideas, and they're kind of going to help us spread the Race to End Bullying, and we'll help them spread their things. And they kind of do these things where if you are disabled and you want to go live your life the same way you did.
Right.
And so they
go snowboarding or go hunting or play basketball.
Exactly. So they do these excursions where, like, you can win, and they want to do one with me where if you win, then they'll take this. If you win, then they'll take you to the racetrack. And we have a car that has the track has a car that has a passenger seat, race car. So we're going to get them in the race car, and they can go around the track, and then they can be in our pit and see us work on the car, see what it takes, and watch the race. And
they get to have like a hands-on experience then doing the racing stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Is there like a website or anything for either of these that you want to throw out there?
You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook.
Okay.
So the Facebook is NatAttack, and then the Instagram is NatAttack_racing_1.
And if you want to get to those, I'll have links on all my socials and on my website. Just go to delightfullydifferentpodcast.com.
Oh, and the Disabled Sportsmen, they do have a website.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but I think it's just disabledsportsmen.com.
Okay. Wonderful organizations, and it's cool that you're doing that. I love it. What are your other hobbies when you're not racing? What do you do?
We are big hunters.
Okay.
So that's also kind of how Disabled Sportsmen came along, is their big thing is hunting.
Okay.
So they take these disabled people on these big hunts, and they get to shoot this monster elk and whatever. And so we are big hunters.
Right.
And so I go deer hunting every year. I have, ever since like elementary school, I've taken 2 weeks off in October just to go deer hunting.
Okay.
And so then I also hunt elk.
Okay.
We get spike elk tags every year. And so we've had pretty good luck, and we have a cabin up in Fruitland, and we just, when we're not racing, we're up there.
And you do this with your family?
Yes.
You do lots of tomboy stuff with your family.
Yes.
And no one can see you obviously right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're very feminine, super beautiful girl with very long hair, little petite thing, and you do a bunch of boy stuff, and I love it.
Yes. I love it too.
Do you have any crazy fans?
I do have some up in Idaho.
I'll bet.
So like every race, the same group of people will come down and just hang out in our pit until like they have to leave.
Oh, that's fun.
It is awesome. Yeah. So we always give them extra swag or a free hat or just let them sit in the cars. And
I have a feeling that group's going to get bigger and bigger as this goes on. What other drivers do you look up to?
Mainly probably my family, my uncle Lynn Hardy and Jimmy Waters. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't even be here. I mean, we were at the track every weekend when I was little, watching them race or helping them, and they give me so many pointers on the track, and it was an honor. Last year, I actually raced against my uncle Lynn. And
you did?
Yes. And
how'd that go?
He said, the entire season, because he's on my crew as well, he was like, you need to beat on them back and don't let them push you around out there. And I just couldn't do it because my entire career, you learn don't touch, don't wreck anybody, don't whatever. And he's like, no, if they're hitting on you, hit on them. And then when he raced with me, I was like, okay, I'm doing it.
And
he was like, not to me.
Wait, did you beat him?
I beat him qualifying. I out-qualified him.
Okay.
And then in the main event, we were side by side for quite a few laps, and then my tires started to give out, and he got past me.
And he ended up winning.
But yeah, it was pretty fun.
He must have been so proud of you.
Yes.
I mean, he taught you. The student has now become the teacher.
Yeah.
Now, I met your boyfriend. He was here. You got a fella.
Yes.
Are you a better driver than him?
Shh, tell me quietly.
So we actually met through racing quarter midgets together.
Oh, so he races too?
He used to, yes.
So are you a better driver than him?
I mean, I have more quarter midget trophies than he does.
You do?
So.
Okay.
So I like the way that you handled that question. You're not going to be broken up with. What is your regular day job? What do you do when you're not for a living?
I actually clean houses with my stepmom. So it really just fits with my schedule because I'm also in college. So to go to college till 3 o'clock every day and then race on the weekends and work on, have time to work on the cars.
Right.
It's just like really easy and really flexible schedule and still good money. So
do you want to race full time once you're done?
Yes.
Do you want it to be your career?
Yeah, racing is definitely the dream. I mean, that's all I've worked towards. If it wasn't, I wouldn't do all the promotional stuff to get my name out there.
Right.
I would just, oh, it's whatever. I'll race this weekend, see how good we do. And if we don't do well, it's fine. But
is the end, or do you have dreams of NASCAR? I don't know. I know there's a bunch of different kinds of racing that you could possibly do, and NASCAR is just one of them.
Yes. Okay. NASCAR is the dream.
And that's the biggest one, right? NASCAR.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the next step to that would be the ARCA series, which is like very first level NASCAR.
Okay.
And then from there would be the trucks, the Xfinity series, and then the Cup series.
And what is your ultimate goal? What's your dream?
The Cup series.
The Cup series. Okay. Gotcha. Do you think you're going to make it?
I sure hope so.
When do they start doing it? What age do they tend to get there?
ARCA series is pretty much where I am now. That's about this, my age. And then truck series is like early 20s. Same with Xfinity. And then the Cup series is like about early 30s, late 20s.
All right. Well, you're started and you're going to get there. I know it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Yeah.
You're very cool and I'm super proud to have met you, and I can't wait to see you on TV racing around that track. But I'm going to go, I know that girl and I knew her when.
Yeah.
Just like a professional race car driver, Natalie wanted me to make sure her sponsors were mentioned. They are Wickless Sensations, B Graphics, Disabled Sportsman, West Valley Collision and Repair, Redemption, and Brad Hunsinger. While I'm not a huge fan of racing, I'm now a huge fan of Natalie. Don't forget to like and follow our pages, and thanks for joining me on Delightfully Different. Next week, I'm going to be talking to an NBA mascot. Don't forget to download, like, rate, all the things you're supposed to do with the podcast, and have a delightful week.